When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's up, and welcome to Movie Dumpster Season 6, Episode 3. Today we're talking about Thriller, A Cruel Picture, a.k.a. They Call Her One Eye, from 1973, directed by Bo Arn Vibenius. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Jenna Fryer.
Welcome to The Dumpster. We are in the dungeon for the first time with the beautiful, wonderful Jenna Fryer here sitting next to us. She's already been on the show one time. She was on our fantastic Body Melt episode.
The infamous episode that brought us many classic MDU jokes, including...
The Mama Fratelli.
Mama Fratelli, who's up, by the way, is on this shirt. We'll get to this shortly. I don't want to lose the thread on what we're talking about. We'll come back to this. But yeah, Mama Fratelli with the third hand.
Yeah.
Swal Dabi was brought up in that episode. Yes. Which I was reminded, actually, was like, my wife actually came up with that when we were watching Harry Potter, when he breaks through the fucking ceiling to save Luna Lovegood, and I was like, oh shit, you're right! And then Swal Dabi became a thing on the show.
He's taking those Vimavil tablets, man.
And the Vimavil tablets, which we lovingly refer to as MDUs, because they're basically the movie dumpster universe's version of Ludes.
Fizzy lifting drink.
Yes.
Yeah.
What an episode. Welcome back, Jenna. How you been?
I've been good.
Okay.
Can't complain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
What have you been up to? Anything?
School.
School?
Yeah.
What you working on? Fun. Studying hard or hardly studying?
Yeah, definitely the latter.
That's awesome, though. Yeah, we did that for our barbecue month, by the way, where Sean was all dressed up like Gramps from House 2.
Yeah. Oh, wait!
If you haven't seen that, go back, check it out.
Yes, yes. Classic MDU lore in that video.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was you?
Yeah,
that was me as Gramps.
I literally would have no idea.
That was good.
That was a classic episode.
We gotta bring Gramps back in some capacity.
We'll get him back on the show. Don't worry. We'll wake him up from his slumber with that crystal skull. We'll pour some fucking Dan Aykroyd crystal skull vodka on him and wake right up.
There you go. He'll love that. He'll get some from the baby bottle for Bippy. Bippy's got his own.
Oh yeah, he'll
the
start
cat puppy.
He's gonna cut a rug. He's gonna fucking break his dick off in that chick.
I should get that Guy Fieri tequila.
There you go.
Oh, no.
They both be jamming out, dancing.
Town.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Gramps would love that.
Hit him with that mule sauce.
Yeah. Imagine Gramps with the mojitos or something. Come on, Bippy. Give me those mojitos. Bippy's in there grounding up his little cat or puppy paws.
Bippy's got that 40-ounce baby bottle from Don't Be a Menace. sipping on that shit.
Oh, my God. That's a visual.
But yeah, welcome. Since you're here, can do us a favor. Hit that like button. Hit subscribe. We really appreciate it. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening to your podcast. That would be a huge help for us. But yeah, let's get on with the show. We're here. We're talking about Thriller, A Cruel Picture.
Yes.
They Call Her One Eye. The infamous rape revenge movie from the 70s. I believe this drops a year before we get I Spit on Your Grave.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think.
Okay.
I think. In 73, this comes out. So in 70, I'm going to say this is 74. I'm almost positive this is 74. Anyway, if it's not, fuck me. But the Mirz Archie classic, I Spit on Your Grave. Two completely different movies, but in the same genre.
Was Thriller, A Cruel Picture inspired by, or I Spit on Your Grave inspired by Thriller, A Cruel Picture?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It was
parallel thinking kind of thing.
At the time, it was like, you know, the rape revenge movies were coming out. Even like stuff like Coffee 2, or like we got the Pinky Violence stuff over there where there was like these women getting revenge on people who sexually abused them, or like they were in jail, or like there was like a drug thing, which this has the cocktail of all three of those things, or both of those things.
When was Mother's Day? We covered, I think,
Mother's
years
Day was
back.
1980 or 81.
Okay, because that was definitely in that similar vein of that.
Yeah, it's in the pocket there.
Mm.
But this is like the exploitation jump off, like mid-70s. or early 70s, mid 70s kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not Italian.
It is not Italian. It is Swedish.
Which is really weird because I kept thinking it was Italian.
same. Especially some of the scenes in this film. I was like, are we sure this isn't made by the Italians?
Well, it's very European.
Absolutely.
French and Italian cinema, I feel like, influenced a lot of this type of filmmaking. And even stuff like George Romero and stuff like that. And I don't know, especially at the time.
Yeah, no, I could see that. And of course, I wore a very appropriate t-shirt for this episode. made by our fan, Dino, who we've brought up before, did a shirt of me as the Diddler from our infamous, another infamous episode, our Batman Forever episode, where I was dressed like the fucking Riddler. And you, or the Diddler, take your pick.
Oh, it's the fucking Diddler.
There's a lot of Diddlers in this film. I know, maybe just gonna say it right now. That was the joke.
When you fucking walked in here with that on your, I'm like, oh, you're wearing the Diddler shirt. He's like, yeah, there's Diddlers in this movie. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, he's calling Mama Fratelli. Yeah.
I think there's actually only one Diddler, and that's in the beginning.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
So but wait, there is a Diddler.
Yes. So Thriller is Diddler Origins. Right.
Well, that Diddler's very old, so unless the Diddler's getting in a fucking time machine.
I don't know. Maybe.
Diddler, a cruel picture.
Diddler, a cruel picture. Oh, no. That's the Earth 2 version. That's the Jeffrey Jones fucking documentary, The Life Picture.
So there's a decent amount to talk about this movie before we get into the film. First, I want to open up with a horror. I want to just talk about this because I made this horrible trailer while I was in college.
Based
off of the They Call Her One Eye. And it was at the time where, like, Grindhouse was just coming out. You know, Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino double feature. And so, like, a lot of my projects and stuff were, like, based around that kind of stuff. Mm. So, yeah, I made this fucking awful trailer of They Call Her One, like, a remake of the trailer. And, like, I was shot it on this, like, shitty little Canon and, like, you know, I didn't have any.
Like, you, like, actually remade it? Wait.
You actually
remade it?
I actually, well, the trailer. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like you recut it. You actually refilmed it.
I shot it.
Oh my god!
People
cool.
in the class. Yeah.
Did when they got shot in slow motion? Did they just like? Did you go just like do this?
No, I shot it and then slowed it down and it looked horrible.
Please tell me you have this.
If I have it still, we'll put
you
it in the video
yeah,
version.
You have to put it in. Yeah.
Oh maybe not the whole thing because I think it's like 2 minutes.
All right.
If people are gonna fucking bail, they're gonna be like, I don't watch this shit.
Yeah, no, fair.
But we'll clip it up. Yeah, for sure. So now you guys have not seen this movie ever before. This was your first rodeo with us.
I have heard about it, and we've been talking about it. I think since this set came out, I think last year.
Yeah.
But I hadn't watched it until getting ready for this episode.
Gotcha. The first time I saw it was It wasn't available for a really long time. And then Synapse came, and I think in 2004 they put that out. So, what, we were like seniors in high school? Something like that.
Well, yeah, somewhere in the ballpark.
Somewhere there. And they had put it out. And again, Kill Bill is out at this time, which we'll get to in a little bit. And like the resurgence of like Quentin doing like that stuff from the 70s that kind of exploitation stuff and the Grindhouse stuff like we talked about. But Synapse puts this out, and there's two different versions of it. They put out a The Vengeance version, which is the yellow cover, which has none of the hardcore stuff. And then this one was up until we got the Vinegar Syndrome release, was the most complete cut of the original uncut version.
Mm.
So still incomplete.
There's about 50. Well, we're going to talk about it, but The Vinegar Syndrome one has about 50 seconds or something like that.
So not a
that
massive
was that
difference.
Was missed, but like the Vinegar Syndrome 4K restoration is like the definitive Thriller cool picture.
I was saying, how much
version of
that 50 seconds was a penis going to a vagina?
it's actually Christina Lindbergh just being like, they're like little snippets of like those encounters, but Christina Lindbergh's also not the hardcore.
No,
scenes.
No, I know. I looked that up. We'll
she
talk
got
about
a stunt
that.
Cock.
She got a stunt butt, too.
Apparently, yeah.
You need a stunt butt for this.
Yeah.
You can't pay me enough.
Oh, my God. It's all going down the hole.
The poop shoot.
It's going down the poop shoot.
Spoilers.
So I guess we could talk a little bit about Bo-Arn Vibenius.
Who used a pseudonym also?
Yes, well, Alex Friedolinski.
I before you tell me, my guess is just because they probably assume, well, my name's all over this. It looks like it was made by one person, is my guess.
Well, considering Pier Pasolini was like killed for making Solo.
He made Solo, this guy?
No. I'm just saying, like seeing that, be like, maybe we'll use a pseudonym.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I don't know if that was actually has any relation to why he did what he did, but
From what
I understand, safe than sorry.
Yeah. From what I understand,
though, I don't like Solo, but I don't think the guy deserved to die. Holy shit, I didn't know that.
I like that movie.
I hate it.
You don't like watching people eat shit?
Ben.
That's the least of my problems with that film, but that's definitely part of my problem with
the
it.
The pee stuff? You don't like the pee stuff?
Let's move on.
I thought the diddler would be interested.
I'm saying let's move on in the Thriller A Cruel Picture episode over, but it is Sallow, so come on.
Thou doth protest too much.
So Bowarn loves film. Right. And he goes to film school and does all the stuff. He ends up landing a gig working under Ingmar Bergman as like a production assistant.
Wow. That's
which
cool.
is pretty incredible. So he finally gets his money up and completes his first film, which is a complete total fucking flop. And nobody cares about it. And then at the time he had a family and stuff. And what he wanted to be was a director and he needed to make money. So he concocted Thriller, A Cruel Picture within like 3 days because to basically make like the worst movie or
most offensive, almost
offensive movie. The thing that shocking, you know what I mean? So people would see it and just for the shocking nature of it,
like almost Mondo film-y,
kind of, yeah. Especially for the time, because like I feel like people like him weren't making these kinds of films then, and he's like working with Ingmar Bergman and he's doing all this stuff, but like the money's not there for the kinds of movies he wants to make. So he's going to be like, all right, I'll make this fucking crazy movie about this little girl who becomes addicted to drugs and like a sex trafficked woman who like gets in revenge.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like that because it's like, is this what you want? Yeah. Is this what you want?
Basically.
Yeah. So it gives it more of like insight. You know what I mean? Like
gives a bite.
Yeah. Because it's not just, it's almost satire. At that point.
I think
so. To a point, yeah.
I mean, it is dealt with in a very dramatic, real way, though.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a black comedy in any respect at all.
No, but the intention behind it 100%. Like, is interesting.
You want depravity? Here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously, though.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit about the director. We're going to get through Sina Lindberg in a second, but I want to talk about the releases of these films real quick. And like I told you, the Synapse DVD came out with the uncut version, which was the first time that was ever put on disc, basically. And then they ended up doing a Blu-ray. Then Vinegar Syndrome, I highly recommend you pick up the 4K restorations that they did for the Thriller cut, the most complete Thriller, A Cruel Picture cut, and They Call Her One Eye, which is the U.S. version. Now, the U.S. version of this movie, so we're going to talk about the uncut version for this review.
Right, the actual review, right.
But They Call Her One Eye was cut by, almost 100 cuts were made to that version of the film when it was released in the U.S. And then, of course, it had the overdub for the English audience.
Well, of course, right.
And there was a lot of different musical cues and different scoring that they kind of put in throughout the whole thing. And they tightened it up. So Thriller runs like almost 20 minutes longer than They Call Her One Eye. So they chopped like 20 minutes out, tightened everything up. All the slow-mo shit is sped up. So it's like,
okay,
it's
yeah.
like a real condensed
version
of it without all the most horrible things that are in the Thriller cut.
That doesn't actually sound that bad considering.
It's fast-paced and it's fun. It's action-filled, yeah.
Yeah, like I feel like that was my biggest problem with the movie was like the pacing was like a little like, all right now, all right.
Yeah.
Put it this way, Thriller is more of like an exploitation art film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus They Call Her One Eye as an exploitation action film.
Makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We talk about slow burns occasionally on this show, and this is like a heavy duty slow burn. Like you get like an hour of setup and then like 45 minutes of like release, which is great, don't get me wrong, but yeah, it takes a while to get there.
Watching this movie, even though like the pacing was just like so, and I'm big in art movies, like art house movies. Like I watch like, I think it's called like Koyaanisqatigi. I'm saying it all wrong. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Never seen this.
And it's like, it's like that's the whole chant that they say, like Koyaanisqatigi. And I think it's like 3 hours long, dude.
Oh my God.
And it's just shots of people like living life or like a boat or like a factory. And then and I watched that movie, you know, and I'm like, you got to be in a certain headspace for it.
Sure. Stoned out of your mind.
Not a sober one.
Yeah, you have some mushrooms before that, obviously.
Quite, yeah, you'll
turn all
it.
The lights off, yeah. You know.
Exactly.
So I watched that movie, and then this movie, like, I appreciate a good art house movie, but I'm like, oh man, like, and some things I really liked, some of those shots I really liked, like mm-hmm. when she was loading up the gun
oh,
and everything. Yeah. And like, oh man, it's got like that ASMR like kind
oh,
of feel
yeah,
to it.
Yeah.
All the re-recorded like sound effects are just so like, ugh.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. That's what like really like kept the movie going for me.
Yeah.
It's just all the sound. I was like, so nice on my brain. I'm not even a ASMR person. When someone whispers, I want to punch them.
It's like pins and needles, right?
No.
Mummies. 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 Now I'm going to have to fucking jack that up.
Oh, yeah, baby. You ever hear of the South Bend Shovel Slayer?
That's the joke.
Yeah. I mentioned Quentin Tarantino before, and if you've seen Kill Bill, you know that Ellie Driver, played by Daryl Hannah, is a direct homage to Christina Lindbergh's character, yep. Madeline or Frigga, depending which version you watch.
Right.
With the eye patch and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where that all comes from. Pretty cool. So, yeah, being the guest on the show, would you like to plot crunch this very condensedly for us?
All right, I'll try. So some girl, and actually, it's kind of poignant to what's going on right now with like Andrew Tate and all that.
Okay.
I know I'm bringing up, but like, I found out about like the lover boy technique.
Oh God.
And the lover boy technique is basically what the guy in this movie
right.
does.
So he watched this movie and
he
got the idea.
This movie.
He's like, huh, genius. Yeah. Wine and diner and then basically lock her up for life.
And diner and then give her heroin.
Yeah.
That's like the same thing where like drug dealers watch Scarface. They don't watch the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know the end of that movie?
They turn it off
at
the climax.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, oops.
Yeah. You know, she comes back and gets revenge and, like, kills you, motherfucker.
All right.
Oh, damn it. Yeah. Buries it. So, the plot, some guy picks up this mute kind of country girl, and he lover boy techniques her, which is, yeah, wine, dine, like, oh, I'll take care of you, girl. Gets her back to his place, and then shoots her up with heroin, gets her addicted. While she's unconscious the whole time. I think he
right.
beats her up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's basically sex trafficked, but she's smart, and she uses that money that she's getting from sex trafficking to learn karate, drive a car really fast, and shoot guns.
Yeah.
And, you know, she exacts her revenge.
It's pretty fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah. I love all those montages.
Yeah.
We'll get to those.
It's the best part.
Yeah.
So this movie really just like punches you in the gut right off the bat. So you know immediately what you're getting into. Because mm-hmm. It starts with this little girl just walking around in the forest, just having a grand old time, picking up leaves. What could possibly go wrong, you ask? Well, there's an old man over there. He can't possibly be a bad person, right?
Who is it? Is it her grandpa? We don't know.
Yeah, who is it?
And then he picks her up, and you're like, all right, okay, now I'm getting nervous. Then he's doing one of these.
Dude, he starts fucking, he's got like the black shit coming out of his mouth from X-Files.
Yeah. Krychek fucking was there earlier. But yeah, oh my God, it quickly turns, and it's just like, she goes to run. And this guy just grabs her, and it's like this close-up shot, and he's like,
You see this kid's fucking like eight. You see this bum climax. It's disgusting. So yeah, this girl is scarred for life now, and she becomes a mute because of it. This encounter that she has.
Oh, you find out because like just two old women are like
plot dumping.
Yeah. And did you hear about it? Oh, yeah. She was mute ever since she got, like, molested by that old man. Like, oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was 15 years ago, by the way.
15 years. Old ass bitches.
They also let him out because he was crazy or something. Yeah. I don't know.
He never went to prison. Imagine that. He's dead, I think. So then I'm sitting here like, okay, is this guy going to show up? And she's going to kill? I kind of wish he did to some extent. But
that would have been great. I mean,
that would have been cool.
Maybe it's he's in one of those cars that she just fucking randomly blows up later.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he became, yeah, one of those cops.
Maybe, yeah. The world's oldest cop.
So it's 15 years later, and we get introduced to older Madeline, who's played by Christina Lindbergh.
Is it Madeline? Is it Frigga? What the hell are we calling this woman?
Her name
One
is,
Eye.
Her name's Madeline in the original cut. Watch the original cut. That's what we're
Why
going
the fuck
for.
Are all the subtitles saying Frigga?
Some of them say Frigga. Some of them say Madeline.
I think it did say Frigga. Frigga?
Well, it's it's Madeline or Frigga.
Either way, it doesn't
take
matter.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
We can call her Frigga if you'd like.
Frigga.
It's a weird name.
Well, because I think it's supposed to be, from what I was looking up online, it's supposed to be like Freya, which is Odin's wife and that mythology, so I think that's the reference, but whatever.
The Swedes.
Frigga.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what Odin said? Frigga.
Harry Lime, he's like fucking Loomis. He pops out of the bushes whenever he hears the name.
So just real quick, Christina Lindbergh was a nude model for a long time, like in the 60s and 70s. Okay. And that's kind of how she made her bread. But then she did a lot of like softcore films. But then she gets into the exploitation genre. So the one that launched her career like across like the seas, if you will, like how she got noticed in the US was Exponad. How the fuck do you say that? Exponerad, excuse me. Okay. I've never seen it. I don't even know what it is. So after that, she gets noticed and she starts starring in other exploitation films, Sex and Fury, which is like a Pinky Violence film, like I was talking about earlier, which is really fucking great. Again, we need to do some of those.
Okay.
Delinquent Girl Boss, Prisoner Scorpion, all those movies are fucking awesome.
That's Prisoner Scorpion.
Those aren't. I have them upstairs. That's a different one.
Okay, I love Prisoner Scorpion.
Yeah, they're fucking great.
Haven't seen any of them, but you know me, always open to check out.
No,
anything,
I mean, it's,
man.
If you want to see like a Tarantino like ripping a movie off, it's like Prisoner Scorpion is like
he got a lot of inspiration from Thriller and all the Pinky Violence stuff.
Yeah,
Lady Snowblood's another one for Kill Bill.
Yeah, Lady Snowblood.
Well, right,
yeah,
that's the one that Kill Bill's directly based on, right?
A lot of it is.
Influence, I should say.
And then she does this, but then she does Thriller, of course, and then she ends up like marrying this dude and becoming editor-in-chief of a magazine that he owns, some aviation magazine in Sweden. And then she like quits acting. She makes these videos for like mushroom foraging.
Huh.
Like these educational videos.
Was it on Best of the Worst?
I don't know. It might.
I have no idea. Seems like something they would have covered, honestly.
Yeah. or like Found Footage Festival or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's adorable, though.
Yeah. So then she goes back to modeling just to make a couple extra bucks, and then she becomes a journalist, basically.
Oh, okay.
And that's what she's been doing with her life.
Interesting career path.
Yeah.
And she shot a bunch of guys in a movie called Thriller, A Cruel Picture.
Well, the funniest part is she wanted to act more.
Yeah.
But she was really bad at, like, acting.
Oh, is that why she's mute for half of the movie?
So they made her fucking mute.
And I mean, it kind of works.
It totally works.
Because, like, the whole thing is she has an appointment in the town. And I don't remember if they ever specify whether it's college or a job or something.
Well, they give her, her dad's like, you need to take a break. You've been on the farm. You've been fucking with that cow. And you've been fucking with those chickens. Just go into
fucking
town.
With that cow.
Milking them.
Just wow. Milking them all day.
As you do.
You're bored.
Diddling that cow.
Stay away from the bulls, though.
You got that covered.
Well, the diddlers does. You don't want to get the Walter Peck treatment.
Oh, no.
Covered. Completely covered. But yeah, you're okay. That's what it is. Yeah. So they send her out like, oh, go out. So she's dressed to the nines. She's got her heels on and everything.
Go enjoy yourself.
She misses the bus.
Yeah, she sure does.
And I guess nobody told her ever, even after that harrowing fucking experience as a kid, to, maybe don't get in strangers' cars.
Well, and immediately she gets in the car,
I mean,
man.
And the sleaziest looking motherfucker in town.
But this was the 70s, though. And it's like in other countries, like people hitchhike.
Yeah.
That's like a common thing.
But it's also like, here's this farm girl. She's dressed to the nines. There's this handsome guy who comes up in this really expensive. Look, I'm just saying.
Name Tony.
He looks better than the cow. Right?
Well, right, yeah.
He's got a fast car.
He gave me like creepometer. Oh, immediately.
100%. Yeah. But I feel like
this, I get what you're saying.
This
though.
Woman has seen two men: her dad and the fucking I don't know Joe Bob that lives down
that
the
guy. Like, dad needs you, and he's like staring at her tits the whole time. She's like,
my God.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, I like fast cars, fast women. You know, I've been missing a beautiful woman sitting in my car with me. You want to go to town? And she just doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And off they go.
The gears start turning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they get in the town, and he's like, all right, yeah, let me buy you dinner.
He literally wines and dines her, like you said. He's
immediately.
Like, the company will pay for it, which you'll see in a bit. And he, like, they order, like, wine and fucking schnapps and all kinds of shit.
They have this, like, over-the-top steak. The fucking waiter's there pouring, like,
flambé.
Yeah, like, what the hell? It's, like, on fire and everything.
Well, it's to, like, wow her and get her, no, like, I know. You know what I mean?
And then she's just like, she's not saying, she
like
looks
salt bays there.
I know. Oh, yeah. She looks so goddamn uncomfortable the whole time. And he's just like, keeps like, oh, yeah, no, come on, come back home with me. He's got the champagne. They're drinking wine. He's licking her up hardcore.
She's like,
yeah, one sip.
The whole time, I'm like, oh, man.
And she gets hammered. No. She fucking literally just like passes out from being drunk.
Well, I think because he takes her home.
He like put some shit in it.
Did he drug her?
Oh,
100%. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They set it up, you know, like she's like, oh, I'm nervous. Yeah. And he's like not drinking and looking at her.
Yeah, he does
know?
One of these. He's like,
yeah. And then, you know, it has to do like the point of view or like.
Because when they open that cabinet. There's like drugs in there. There's like heroin in there. Yeah. I didn't realize he drugged the glass.
Oh yeah, it was some kind of sleeping pill or something. He put inside the wine
or heroin.
Oh yeah, powder
made
for
the
into a wine glass. Oh my God,
have a sip.
I love this visual.
Sounds fun.
Yeah,
I can't say that. I should not say that.
I mean, it looks like they're making Kool-Aid in this fucking movie, but we'll get to it in a second. I love this visual element that they use a few times where we see a calendar on the wall, like the proverbial wall, but it's just a screen. And it's like October 8th, 9th, 10th, just showing you that she's been there for 3 days. And it cuts back. And like you guys were saying, she's just disheveled. Her makeup's fucked up. It looks like she just woke up from a bender. And he's sitting there on a typewriter. Oh, hello, you're awake. Hi.
Good, I've been drugging you for the past week
and a
half.
Yeah, by the way.
He, like, calls some doctor over.
Heroin. He's like, now you're addicted to heroin.
Yeah. Welcome to my nightmare. So she's addicted to heroin, and he turns her into a fucking sex slave. And he, like, types up this contract for her. Like, what did he... what does that release her from exactly?
I do love...
Is that a waiver? Like, here you go. You write this down. You're now my sex slave prostitute addicted to heroin. You just sign right there on the dotted line just in case we got to go to court or something, you know.
I think that's exactly the implication, but...
She willingly did it? That's illegal.
Actually, yeah. I'm wondering, like, if... where was this? Like, Swedish, right?
Sweden.
Yeah. I'm wondering if prostitution was legal.
Oh, over
and
there,
then,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it
I
could be.
I don't fucking know. I have no idea.
This woman has a bad time for a long time in this movie, but this is like kind of the beginning of it. Yeah. I mean, besides literally the
opening, she's never had a good life, man.
No.
Poor lady.
Well, maybe that little piece maybe where she was milking those cows.
Wow, well,
it was all
true.
Good. It was all gravy.
But where I was going with that is just like, you know, at first she won't sign it. So then he's like beating her up and he injects her some more.
He
and
knocks
then...
around for another week.
Yeah.
And then like shoots her up every day.
He punches her to literally the next week.
And then he's finally like, he's like, yeah, you gotta come with me. He's like, this is gonna be your room. And then he like brings her in there, and she's like still confused. She doesn't really know what's going on. And
she
then...
fucking escapes at one point, and he chases her down. He drives through a park.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well,
they're in the middle of nowhere or
and
something?
Picks like, up her unconscious body in the middle of public.
That scene, I feel like, was really powerful because she's running on the fucking leaves just like the beginning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She falls. She's crawling on them.
I think it might even be the same part.
It feels like it.
That's where that art house kicks in.
And there's like people walking by.
Yeah.
They don't say shit.
Oh, that's weird.
In Sweden, we mind our own business and keep walking.
Skull.
I don't know what accent that was.
But I can't. In
Sweden.
In Sweden we do.
There we go.
Hinga dinga dark.
Hinga dinga. Hey, let's go over here and don't want to bother these two.
If we had any
like
Swedish
domestic dispute.
If we had any Swedish fans, we just lost them.
Oh, we're just joking.
We love your meatballs.
Yes.
Also love your snaps. Very good.
Well, at one point she wakes up and it's like her first customer shows up.
Well, he, you
got
this
David Gale looking fuck.
You got to set this up with the fact that, like, she wakes up and he just gives her the deal. He's like, okay, so by the way, you're addicted to heroin. If you try to run away, you're going to die within 48 hours if you don't get your fix. You're going to sit in this room and I'm going to give you a list with all your clientele. And you're going to do whatever they say because they're paying top dollar. And welcome to your new life.
Yeah, so this David Gale fuck comes in. He's like, ooh, the new girl. She scratches the shit out of his face. Man. And he's like in the background like, I'm going to be scarred for life. And it's like, well, fuck you, buddy.
He's like, what is my wife going to say?
Yeah, well, what did you expect, pal?
Was that like, that wasn't the camera guy, right?
No.
That was
he's next. Weirdo
that
Anderson.
Was the funniest one. Sorry, lady. Yeah,
the least intrusive one.
All right.
Okay. all right. Before, all right, camera guy.
He is next, but I do want to mention one thing because it's super fucked up and it has a huge impact on the rest of the movie. Is like, she's by herself at one point, and there is another girl that we'll talk about maybe a little bit, Sally,
yeah,
that comes
Sally
into play.
A little bit, yeah.
But she's walking around this like apartment, like, you know, in a daze because she's on this fucking drug. And she finds this letter that Tony typed up that he's going to send to her fucking parents, which he then does.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the most harrowing fucking letter. Like, hey, I met this guy and I love him and I hate you and I couldn't wait to get away from my shitty life with you. You're the worst. Goodbye. I never want to see
and
you
then
again.
She hears them reading it.
Oh, dad. There's like these
right?
shots
she
of mom
escapes.
And dad. Yeah. Well, there's like shots of mom and dad and he's like reading it like into the camera as she's reading it. So, again, it has that little unartsy type feel to it, which I really enjoy. And it makes you feel the impact of that scene way more than her just looking.
And, like, also, like, because she has such, like, this little, like, cherub baby face. Like,
very young.
She seems, like, so sweet. Yeah, like, super young.
Well,
and
she's supposed to be, like, 15 or 16.
Well, right. And it's, like, you get the parents' reaction. Well, it's 15 years later. She's got to be in her early 20s. She was like six, maybe.
Or they're all diddlers.
Or they're all diddlers.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
But it's like that first scene with the dad and the mom, like he said, like the dad reading it and his reaction, the mom starts crying, is like really powerful. But you get the follow-up like a little later as some time passes where mom sends the response letter like, I can't believe you sent it. This almost killed your father. He slit his wrist. Like, why would you say this? You always have a home. And it's like, oh my God.
This
man is just, not only is he like, ruining her life, he's ruining her fucking family's life.
They like can't live without her, and they're like, we have no reason to live without you, so you'll never see us again.
Which is paid off in a fucked
spades.
Up way.
We'll get to that. Yeah. But first, before we jump the gun, we need to get to the eye scene.
Yeah. So that's after she scratches
when
the
she
guy.
Scratches the dude, Tony comes in to like, I don't know what, Punisher?
He does one of these. He's got the scalpel.
He's got a fucking scalpel, and for years, I didn't know about what I'm going to tell you. I don't know if you guys look this up, but like it's a tense scene where like the scalpel's going into her eye and then you see the motherfucking thing go into the eyeball. And I was like, wow, that looks incredible. How the fuck did they do that? And watching it in 4K, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That looks really good.
And that looks real
good.
So I'm like,
how the fuck did they do the eye effect in Thriller Cool Picture? Oh, maybe because it's a corpse of a young woman who committed suicide and they filmed an actual scalper going into her fucking eye.
What the fuck?
So that's a real eye getting a scalpel in it.
Yo.
It's fucked up.
Maybe that's why they cut into black after a second. Yeah.
Tarantino, you can use my dead body.
It goes into
I am an organ donor. There is that.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Woo!
It's terrible, but
I was like, wow, that looks incredible.
And not to always bring him up when eye injuries are involved in a film, but hey, Tony from Mac Movies, are you going to donate your eyes to the government when you die?
Oh, that's a choice cut for you, man. You got to we'll be sending it to you. Don't worry.
This is like zombie level, though, as far as like the amount of time they take to get to it.
Oh,
I think
that's
why it works so well.
Oh, yeah. But like the way that it like punctures and pops and it's just like, oh,
it's
wow.
Like that and then the movie that Salvador Dali did.
Yes.
With that eye slit. Ooh, that one was rough.
Which
and
one?
Then,
I forget what it's called, but I know exactly what you're talking
about.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's one of these. They go like that. It's a cow's eye,
it's
though.
One of those things.
I'll put the clip in the video version.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't think I've seen that.
And then the one in... what's the name of that movie? The Fire in the Sky.
Oh, the thing that goes over him.
Well, Fire in the Sky is one of the most fucked up alien abduction scenes of all time, with like that fucking that goat cheese cloth all over.
Dude, yeah, the Gorgonzola cloth that goes over him, and they're like shoving fucking tubes in him.
Those three, like close your eyes and like rub them around. Like this was one of those. You know, I'm like, oh, that's in like now I got three eyeball movies that I wish I didn't know.
There's
about.
A pretty good eyeball kill in the Field of Screams trailer that we worked on.
Yeah, wink, you know. You might be seeing it right now if you're watching the video.
But yeah,
now she's very fashionable now. She has like a pink eye patch. Later she has like a red one and a black. You know, she's got a whole set.
That's a great.
Doesn't work well with, you know, like all her driving and kung fu and shit. But you know,
it's a great aesthetic though. I kind of love it for the movie.
I don't know how the fuck you get used to that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why there were so many exploding cars.
Why she couldn't actually see them?
She didn't fucking see them.
It's like, oh shit, sorry.
Oh, because it is your left eye, so you wouldn't be able to see out of your left side mirror at all. You're just going off of whatever's on this side of your face.
That's it. That's canon. She couldn't fucking see on the other side of the road. So she just hit
she
them
didn't
all.
Even fucking know.
What was that? Oh.
What is all
that?
What,
fire.
Why do I feel heat coming from behind me?
What was that noise? Yeah. So we get the second guy who's the picture fanatic.
Yes.
Yep.
And Weirdo Anderson.
And again, he's the least intrusive of them all.
He's still an asshole.
He's still in it. Well, with the he like chokes her and like takes pictures of her while he's choking her.
She's very sad.
Yeah.
You know?
And I guess he's into that.
Then we get the grossest guy.
Oh, yeah. He's wearing, like, fucking Hulkamania underwear, this guy.
Yeah, what was that? We get to see his flaccid penis.
His something for the ladies.
Boy.
Yeah.
Like, sure.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wanted that guy. And this is where the gratuitous sex scenes begin, and I was not ready for it at all.
I told you guys.
I forgot.
You know, you just said, do you want the uncut version? I'm like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, I got the uncut version, all right.
Well, you were like, well, me and my mom are going to watch it. I'm like, okay, well, there's the one version and there's this version.
At one point during a montage sequence later, when other things are happening, we straight up see cum come out of a penis onto a vagina, and I was like, well,
onto a butthole, okay?
Well, a butthole.
It's a butthole.
On
it's
an asshole, on the brown eye. Either way it happens, and I'm like...
It's just close-up butthole and dick, like, just boop.
We have to explain it because we can't show it.
It has, like, all this 70s, like, like kind of like music to it. I'm like...
It's not a very pleasing ass to look at either.
It is not a sensual scene at all. There is nothing sexy about it.
And this guy's
you hear this guy.
and
this
there, like,
fucking music. Yeah, this fucking music is like. It's fucking uncomfortable as hell, but I mean, it's supposed to be.
And then we get her last customer, the only female customer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, ooh, diversity.
And then she's just like. Caresses her kind of weirdly, and this is one of the scenes I just like had to kind of fast forward through because it was taking forever to get to the point. And then she eventually like strips down herself, gets on top of her, and I'm like, okay, what is her thing? And she just starts slapping the shit out of her.
You're also not exactly sure what's going to happen because you're another woman, and you're like, well, wait, why is she there? Who is this woman? What is she doing? And it's like, oh, she's there for the pussy.
She's another John.
Yeah, she's another John. She's
Jane this
Jane,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't even have a name. I think in the credits she's like lesbian customer or something like that.
She smacks a bitch up, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
So those are the customers that we're going to see quite a bit of.
But
I like the reoccurring, it's like you get to know these weird perverts.
They have a fucking character arc.
They do, actually, weirdly enough.
Well, first we do a doggy style, and then the butthole is the crowning achievement later. But we meet Sally, she comes in, and she's like the girl in the next room. Who I guess, so Tony has what, two? He said
that we
in the
know
beginning
of
the movie
least.
That he had five different
girls. I mean, like, I'm assuming that he has more than one house.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, so like, you get two bitches per house.
This
just to split it up. So it's not, yeah.
I felt really bad for this woman.
It's a tax break.
Yeah, well, exactly. They're all the businesses are located in Delaware, though. not Sweden for some reason.
Yeah.
But this woman is just like extra sad. Not that the main character hasn't had a really shitty life. We've already talked about that. But it's like this character's like, yeah, Tony kidnapped me and everything just like you and got me addicted to heroin. And yeah, it sucks. But like, I escaped once and I only lasted 36 hours and I came back and was weeping at his feet to take me back. So
I was happy to come back.
Yeah. And I'm just like, whoa, talk about some Stockholm syndrome. This is rough, man. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point. That's why he lets them leave, because he's like, well, you're gonna die unless you get heroin.
Well, right, yeah. When he lets Madeline kind of go out and do her own thing later in the film.
And yeah, I was like, I'm like, you get addicted to heroin in 2 weeks that you'll die. And then my friend was telling me when he was in the hospital for like surgery.
Yeah.
This is like right after I saw the movie too. It was totally unprompted. Then he was like, oh yeah, they gave me like morphine, I think it was. And it's like, oh yeah, they gave me morphine in the hospital. And he said that the withdrawals from just that couple hours in the hospital was like terrible. And I'm like, fuck, maybe you can get like that addicted to heroin in 2 weeks.
Look at the addiction problems all over the world.
Especially the amount that he was giving her like every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The whole thing is she's got to get 2 a day and some days she gets like 4 a day.
Yeah. Your body chemistry completely changes where you like need it.
Yeah.
You think she's got a 401k with this package? She gets off Mondays.
I think it's a 1099.
I think
she's an independent contractor.
I don't think she gets sick days.
She's pocketing away extra money, so that's what I was wondering.
I mean, because if she ever gets pregnant, they're just gonna put two between her eyes.
Well, I mean, it's 1099, so like all this stuff that would go through taxes, like right. She doesn't really have to, you know.
That's true. So all the hits are write offs.
Yeah.
Gotcha. The eye patches, those are write-offs.
Yeah. But Sally,
I mean, that was a work injury.
work-related injury.
She's like, all my eye patches have to match my outfits. That's in my contract.
It's in my contract.
I had Tony add that. Uncle Tony had that in there.
Don't read that. Okay, fine.
Yeah. But Sally, when she gives that lore dump of her story, she also is the one that kind of puts the idea in Madeline's head. Or, you know, hey, I've been taking extra money because I'm trying to get out of here. You should do the same thing. And that's when she gets the lockbox and she starts squirreling away cash.
Yeah. Also, Sally's plan is to save enough money so she can leave and afford rehabilitation in
somewhere else.
Switzerland she goes to.
Yeah. She
wants to. So that's where she gets that idea.
And then she becomes a pile of blood.
Sure does.
I guess we could just talk about that now.
Fuck it. Let's get Sally out of the movie.
Well, she's one of the first to go that really starts to, like, push one eye.
That's the arc, right? Yeah. Like, that was her turning point. That's where she's like, all right, I gotta fucking start this shit now.
Yeah, because she's just sitting in a room after getting fucked by one of these sickos, and then she just hears the gunshots, and she's like, huh.
What the fuck was that?
And then Tony comes, he's like, yeah, you know, Sally, she always wanted to go to Chicago, so,
she in Beirut!
Yeah, we sent her there, yeah, she's gonna be doing a cabaret scene.
she went to a farm upstate.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, by the way, here's one of the hits, you bonus for you.
She went back to her planet. Yeah, exactly.
She didn't die, she just went home.
So then, of course, he leaves, not thinking, they're not friends, why would they be? They stay in the room, they don't leave. She immediately goes into the other woman's room and sees the blood-soaked bed.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like fucking Hellraiser 2, for Christ's sake.
Oh, it's a long... Yeah, Julia's
coming
out of there.
She just became, like, she didn't... She just became blood.
Yeah.
There is so much goddamn blood.
Yeah. She's like a fucking vampire. When she got shot, did she just turn into that?
She exsanguinated all over the place.
And you could see the bullet hole in the pillow and everything.
I thought that was cool. It's a long... But again, like, this is another long scene where, like...
This one, I think, warranted it, though.
I know, but we focused on the film for a long time.
It was almost like that Neil Breen, like, I can't believe you committed suicide. Just getting blood all over himself.
You needed some laptops in the shot, though.
She's just, like, laying on the bench. She's like, oh, like, just blood getting... I'm like, that is a safety biohazard, girl.
She is sticking her face in it, in the pillow and stuff?
Like, yeah.
I get it. I see you're sad, but I don't know.
And this is when she starts actually, like, going out and training, like, after this incident.
Yeah, so Sally dies. We jump the gun a little bit because the order of events is that she actually takes her Monday vacation day and goes to visit mom and dad.
Oh.
That's right,
and this is where...
So this is actually the second triggering
event. Just real quick, because all of these things lead up...
It's super important, you're right.
The Sally is the last straw kind of thing.
Okay, yeah, you're right, it did jump the gun a little.
So she goes to the farmhouse and like...
This is the red eye patch scene.
They are literally... Yeah, she's all dressed up. She looks great. She's all matching. She's got the purse and the eye patch. Yeah. And she goes down the road where the house is, and there's literally a fucking funeral procession, like, carrying her mother and father out in coffins. And she's like, huh. She goes up to the house, and those biddies from the beginning that were like, yeah, remember when she was molested and all that horrible shit happened? Yeah. She fucking wrote them a letter and told them to go fuck themselves, and they drank the poison. They put their own poison in the thing. She's horrible.
And the body sat there for 3 days, apparently, before they were found. It's like, oh, God.
So,
man, they just info dump way too much, man.
Yeah. And you're right, though, because I can't remember if this is in the same sequence when she, after she leaves her parents, or if it's after Sally dies, but she goes to, like, this church.
The church is where she makes a decision.
You're right.
That's right, yeah.
And she's, like, crying and shit. She's like, all right, motherfucker.
Yeah.
She goes to learn karate. She learns how to use a gun. She learns how to drive really good, like the Dukes of Hazzard or something.
She's like Baby Driver, man. Yeah, she's fucking
also, where did she find these people?
I don't know. She's got those.
She's got a fucking the Yellow Pages or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you could find anything downtown.
Not that guap, man. She was like, what do I mean?
A Swedish banknote is this fucking big. Yeah. It's like the size of a piece of
paper.
It's
like Monopoly money. Yeah. It's hilarious.
She has like her contact. She keeps meeting at the bus station. This guy looks like he's like fucking on cocaine or something. He looks so nervous all the time. He's like,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
He's like, I need another note. And that's when she pulls out that huge banknote. He puts it in his pocket.
Yeah, but that's a great scene too, because like the only way she's getting the heroin is from Tony.
Yeah.
So she finds a guy to buy heroin from and like buys his whole stash of heroin so that she can keep getting her hits without having to go back.
But then she also gets a car from him, and he has a guy bring it around and everything, and then she's like learning how to like shoot guns and everything. And
so yeah, I guess it's that guy, the tweaked out guy.
Yeah. 100%.
It's kind of funny because like as this goes on, it's like intercut between, it's really well edited, I think, where it's like every montage sequence, because it's a series of montages, she's slightly better. She's slightly more ready to do what she needs to do.
And
but she's still getting fucked. She's still having to take the drug.
Yeah, it goes in between, like, like her learning her skill and then her, like, close-up of her ass and a dick and shit. And
that's kind of the greatest part of it, because as she, like, progresses and gets better at shooting and gets better at driving and defending herself, everything gets worse
while
she's getting fucked and while she's getting slapped around and all these weird pictures of her taken and stuff.
But she's also like, you can tell by her face, like, it's like, you know, like, oh, you'll fucking get yours.
Oh, yeah.
Biding her time hardcore.
Yeah.
I also love how they give her a Mauser to practice with. And then she just is like, well, I'm just going to make a double barrel shotgun because fuck this.
She's got an Ashley Williams special, dude. Like, she cuts the fucking front off of it.
I love that scene because it's clearly like she gets trained by these like army guys or whatever.
Yeah, because the karate guy sees that she's like doing heroin and he's like, get the fuck out of my dojo.
But like they like lock it up and they're like, all right, see. And then she just like comes back later and is like, well, they helped me, but fuck them. And like breaks into their tool shed and steals the fucking shotgun and the pistol.
She's on a fucking warpath, dude.
But yeah, I love that she did the sawed off. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the rest
and
of the movie.
Like, and she looks awesome, by the way, I want to say, with that black trench coat.
Oh, the trench coat, yeah.
And like, I don't know how to fucking make a sawed off shotgun, but that's how you do it. You know what
I mean? It's a hacksaw.
Yeah.
I liked watching it because it's like, they knew, like, all right, this is what you got to do.
I learned it from Predator. Or Terminator, not Predator.
The Kyle Reese special?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it could be.
I guess this predated it, but people, I guess, been doing it forever. But yeah, I love that shit.
It took its time. You know, I did like when she's, like, setting everything up. I love that it took its time.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, or when she's in the car.
Getting ready.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, the scene when she's loading up the ammo into her purse, and then she's in the car, like, loading the shotgun, putting all the ammo into the pistol,
taping the gun behind her.
Oh, that was so smart.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, now you know where everything is too, as the audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, okay, you got some rounds in your purse.
You got your sawed off in your trench. Yeah. You got your gun in your hat and your hair.
And then
she also has like an explosive charge that we'll get to later.
Yes, and then she starts her revenge tour.
Oh, man.
Talk about Terminator. She goes right up to this first motherfucker's house and rings the doorbell.
It's so great because you're like, what is she going to do? Is she just going to go shoot Tony and like kill him? No, she drives up to the first motherfucker, Hulkamania shorts.
Yeah, the guy who comes all over her asshole.
Yeah, who she fucking gives her the cream pie. guy. And this guy opens the door and he's like,
"Our special.
Hello." And she just fucking unloads on this
she
dude.
She shoots him in the head. He hits the ground and she just says, "Well, fuck it," blows his back out too.
And it's, but the other thing here is it's so slow. It's like slow-mo. So like, it's almost like from
that
her
was,
perspective.
That was true slow-mo? It feels like it.
No,
okay,
it's, from her perspective, she's like savoring each death. Mm. Like, because like, it's, she shoots this dude and he like takes an hour to fall down and then he like rolls over and she fucking shoots him again in the back and then he like rolls back and you see a big hole in his chest.
I do like it, but I do agree it. The slow-mo is a little too much slow-mo.
Like, and
cool.
Here's my thing is like, I wanted a little more, you know, like, because he was just kind of, you know?
I wanted his fucking head to pop.
Yeah, I wanted like fucking like,
slow-mo.
Shit, brains out everywhere. Like,
I will
I
say
that.
They did make up for it with the slow-mo audio that is absolutely going to be in this episode.
Yeah.
It's like the funniest shit ever.
quick.
So that kind of made it up for me, but yeah, I agree. It would have been better if his head fully exploded Scanner style.
Yeah, it has a lot of like that weird psychedelia and like, again, that I said it like 900 times, but like the art house feel to it. You know what I mean? Especially for the deaths.
And I love how Tony now is like sweating bullets and he's like having like a lunch with like the other two
customers.
The
photographer and the lesbian.
Yeah, and he's like, she shot one of our customers. I'm not really sure what to do. And they're like,
we're going to go to Spain. How's that sound?
She just follows him to this fucking meeting.
She kicks the fucking door down and just lights up Mr. Photographer. And he's like as he's sipping his drink.
That's great.
That's great.
And then shoots the lesbian woman. She dies. And then there's a great slow-mo shot of Tony running.
Yeah.
And she shoots, but she misses and it like blows like a pop behind him up.
Yeah. And then the rest of the movie is like her trying to get to Tony.
And this is where we get those fucking car chases where all these cars that are just... bystanders, as far as I can tell, are getting like shot off the road, blowing up.
Well, Tony,
here's another, like, are you car people at all?
Not
like,
really.
I feel like if someone who is a car person would be like, oh man, that's like a 70s.
Whatever's.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like, I feel like I'm like missing a lot about like how cool the cars were.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's cool, like, the driving stuff is cool.
They were going fucking fast,
bro.
Yeah. Holy shit. Before, the stunts are fucking amazing.
They're fucking so
film.
Cool. Before we get to that part, we gotta talk about the hitman that Tony
sends
out.
Oh, these useless sons of bitches.
Tony sends out these two fucking hitmen. He's like, all right, here's 10K for Ricci. You get the fuck out of go kill her.
The denim boys.
So they set her up because...
Canadian tuxedo.
Swedish tuxedo.
So Swedish.
Yeah. Crepes. So, Schlingenberry.
IKEA.
IKEA.
I love whipped cream.
Well, they're going to be fighting in an IKEA warehouse in a moment. So
the harbor, supposedly.
That's totally where they were.
Well, she got to meet the hot dog.
How do I put this together?
Well, she goes to meet the hot dog man.
Yeah, because so the hitmen like set her up because they find her connect and they're like, yeah, tell them the hot dog man's got it down at the pier.
Do you know who the hot dog man is?
The director.
There you go. Yeah. His little cameo.
Bo Arns there. He's like,
yeah, over there.
He's like, over here. Yeah.
And then they like, there's a visual cue.
I remember seeing that. I'm like, that's got to be the director because it's such like a like. Here's this guy, and I'm like, we don't need this guy, right?
They have hot dog man.
They have a visual cue that I just totally didn't pick up on, and then like I rewound and I was like, oh, where they see like a denim jacket on the ground. I guess they're supposed to be like, hey, they're over here, audience. But I'm just like, that went over my fucking head. Didn't matter.
So she rolls into the IKEA warehouse, and it's all slow-mo, and you don't know that at first because there's a gunshot. And you're like, wait, did she get shot? And then you see like a little explosion behind her head, and then she fucking wastes this dude. If you have ever seen a trailer for this movie or anything relating to this movie, you've seen this shot of this guy getting shot and like falling back into the boxes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, into the Chiquita Bananas.
Yes, exactly.
And then the other guy's up top, and he gets shot, and he falls into another boxes of Chiquita Bananas.
And it's all like,
yeah, he falls. Oh. And that's cool. But then the cops show up.
And she just sits there?
And she beats the shit out of them, which feels like 10 minutes of slow motion.
Yeah, that is the
but
most
egregious. But you know
what?
Because, like, it's like she needed to use her karate at some point.
So just kick their ass. Why is it like,
She never does, like, judo chop anyone. She's, like, going to town on that block in that earlier scene.
Hitting her fucking hand.
But she does throw a bunch of people.
She gets the cop. I think she gets the cop.
Oh, okay.
We were talking about this earlier where it's like, What was that martial arts? Like, I think it's Japanese jujitsu.
You tell me.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. Because like
hand to hand combat.
I was like, oh, okay, it's like
Taekwondo. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's like Taekwondo, and then they're doing flips. And I'm like, oh shit, is that Japanese jujitsu?
Is it judo? I don't know enough about it. I feel like the only time I know anything about this stuff is like if I watch the Olympics, and I haven't watched it in like 15 fucking years.
Yeah, mixed like, martial arts.
Yeah, I mean it's cool. But I do agree. It's like
what's that Bruce Lee shit that he did?
Oh, I don't know. The 1-inch punch. I don't know. Dragon style. I have no idea.
I don't know. You can ask Don the Dragon Wilson. Maybe he knows.
Yes.
I have no clue what it is.
But yeah, so she beats the shit out of these cops, and then she's just like, "Well,
she takes the cop car."
Yeah, she's like, "I guess I'll take this car."
Fuck them.
But I mean, pretty smart because she just fires the siren on and just like blows through traffic.
It's great. And you're thinking like, okay, well, where's she going now? She's just dicking around, driving around these back roads. I don't know, like
the
running
the whole time.
The whole time.
Like, she's like in upstate New York, just like taking the scenic route.
Just for like a joyride?
Yeah.
Because she's passing people and I'm like, oh, is that another one of the guys that like might have like sexually abused her?
Was that what like her dealer like comes up and goes like, oh, watch out, like people are behind you or something.
Oh, I think maybe.
And then he drives away.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
And that's when she starts riding people off the road, but then she like goes to like a harbor and her and fucking Tony are having like a fucking shootout and it's kind of a cool scene.
Yeah, but these cars are exploding before she gets there.
No, I know.
It's so great, dude.
She
I
runs one like
scene,
right
man.
Into another car and it
like,
explodes.
I'm like, what are they? What, like, what is? Are the? Is it just filled with like fucking TNT? Why are they? It's like
my favorite one is when there's like a somebody making a left turn or a right turn. She blows past him and this guy goes whoa, and he drives off the road into like a fucking embankment and just explodes.
Yeah, I think I saw Rumpelstiltskin go fly off the side of a cliff going fuck with me. But yeah, so then she's having this shootout in the harbor, and you think it's like gonna go like end up being kind of an interesting scene, and just kind of like peters out, and then like Tony's back in the car, and she's chasing him in the car again, and it's like she's going after Tony, but then like a truck cuts him off because he's like "fuck you, cop," and then realizes it's not actually a cop, and then she like shoots the guy's
window
driver's
out.
Side window out.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
It's like okay,
but then this is like. That ending got so blurry to me.
Oh, it's money.
It was so repetitive. Fuck? Yeah.
I think a lot of that, I didn't rewatch it for the show, but I think a lot of that is fixed in the Call Her One Eye. Like it makes more sense.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Well, then she goes to the place from Shawshank Redemption where Andy Dufresne left Red all that information about the gold, all about Zia Wadandija, however the fuck you say it. What is that thing from Shawshank? That town? Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's Rio de Janeiro?
Yeah. Rio de Janeiro, man!
The wall?
Yeah,
you're
going to
walk along
wall.
The wall. There's a boat that's not finished. We're gonna finish the boat together.
And there's a slot to put a grenade in that you can install some fireworks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So Andy Dufresne.
Andy left him some money.
Somewhere in Sweden, not in America, like the film, because it's MDU, obviously.
I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about for a second. I'm like, come on, get the connection.
Yeah.
So she sets up this fucking, like, grenade.
I thought it was going to explode. I was waiting for a huge fucking explosion.
Well, it's just, okay, so it's. I just want to note this, because it's weird, because, like, the truck cuts her off and she stops. Immediately, we hard cut to her, like, licking an envelope and mailing a letter and putting the letter in the mailbox. True. And Tony gets it, and he's like, son of a bitch, she challenges me to a duel.
Oh, right, that's how we get from there. Yeah, you're right. And then that, like, bodyguard of his, like, doesn't come with him. It's just like, all right, good luck.
Looks like fucking Lionel's uncle from Brain Dead.
Yeah, it does.
With his fucking tweed jacket.
So then he shows up at the location at this like little stone wall.
I would have liked a little clip of him pissing.
Right?
Oh my god. Hey, hey, hey. No, we don't get that though. We get Tony shows up.
What kind of fucking VD does that man have?
I love, though, how she sets up this, like, wire and wraps it around her foot to the explosion.
It's great. It's really cool.
And she, like, is anticipating him to fuck her over. Mm-hmm. So he comes up and he's like, don't kill me. You know, we can work something out. You can be my business partner. Just put your weapon down. She's like, okay. Puts it down. Hey, you stupid bitch. You should have never done that. Now I'm going to teach you. You're going to be tortured to death. And then it's like, all right. She kicks her foot. The fucking thing goes off. He's like,
remember that fucking hair gun? shoots him right in his fucking leg or his chest or something.
In his knee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she walks up and like triple taps it.
And then somehow she fucking like buries him in the fucking sand.
Well, she Ted Danson's this motherfucker from Creepshow.
Well, first she ties him to a fucking horse and drags his ass like a mile.
That's right, yeah.
And he's like, ugh.
She said no to the pain.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's like Ted Danson.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. But it's like Ted Danson, like you said, but it's on land and he's just covered in rocks. He's got like rocks sticking out.
Man, it's great because the only thing I don't like about the only thing I don't like about the scene is that we don't see it. But she puts a noose around Tony's head.
We see everything else,
and like, I think just like the suspense of like watching it all happen.
I liked that they didn't. Yeah, show it. You know, I like that they just cut.
So she puts a noose around his neck.
Better if it was like a golf club or something.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Put a golf tee like in his mouth and like hit a golf like the mask. God. So she puts a rope on this pony. And then puts like some feet in front of it, and then there's the rope is around Tony's neck, and she just sits and waits for the horse to get hungry, and it like walks over to the feed, and then his fucking head comes off. You don't see it.
We do get a couple seconds of him struggling, trying not to choke, which is pretty satisfying.
It's really good.
And then she just mirroring a shot from the opening, which the opening credits is a long road with a cop car coming towards the camera. Now she gets in the cop car and goes. Basically the opposite, leaves that part and goes back down this road. It's kind of cool how it mirrors the opening.
Where is she taking that car to?
Where's she turning herself in or something? I don't know, man.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, like what now?
Going she's back to get the other car?
Going to Switzerland to that clinic.
She's gonna she's gonna join Bill.
Oh, obviously. Changes her name to Daryl Hannah.
I mean, if you
turns
think
into
about
a
it,
mermaid.
If you think about it, like turns into a mermaid. Like
she might be
Daryl
an alien
Hannah's
too.
Older,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
true.
What if it
might be?
You know, like
it could be.
I could see Tarantino doing some shit like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's canon in his mind.
She's actually supposed to be that one.
So, what snake would she be?
She'd probably join up with the fucking bride.
Is there a
honestly,
Swedish snake.
Swedish snake.
Swedish snake.
The fucking wait. What is it? The Mongolian death worm. That's what she would be.
She'd be the Swedish fish.
So, yeah, where are we putting this? Are we putting this on the shelf or are we putting this in the dumpster?
So here's my thing about this movie is like, I guess like the ending was not the satisfying thing that I wanted because like,
okay.
The first part was like, you know, graphics, sex, you know what I mean? And so I wanted the second half to be just as graphic, you know, and it just wasn't really, you know, which I appreciated what they were trying to do, but I'm like, I just want like a little more gore. I'm big on gore. Yeah.
I love the fact that they showed an asshole get cummed on, but they couldn't show somebody's head explode.
I know. that's the thing. And I was like, it could have just been budget because it's way easier.
No, that's free.
Just, that was not special effects. You could just come on an asshole.
I still can't believe that was in there. As much as we joke about cum and a man made out of cum on this show,
speaking
the fact that it was
like,
in a movie just blows my mind.
In Ichi the Killer, like, have you guys seen that
one? Oh, yeah. When he comes on the window?
Yeah. Well, you know what that was? That was real cum. The director had everyone on set come in a bucket.
Oh!
Yeah, and they used that.
That's somehow worse.
Oh, it's just
way worse. It's way worse.
Do go in the bucket.
Don't knock that bucket over.
So, and then they do the close-up, and it has, like, the, you know, Ichi the Killer in the cum. Yeah. Like, that's all
I can imagine
cum.
The effects guy, like, dumping the cum into, like, a fucking squirt gun or whatever they use. Like, okay.
You're weighing like the longest gloves you can find.
And he's like, I hope this one's mine.
Mix it up.
So with that super sperm. With that said, would you dumpster this? Would you at least put it on the shelf? What are you thinking?
Yeah,
are you undecided?
Or on the shelf?
Yeah, so I didn't hate it.
Okay.
You know, I did like it for what it was. And I think I'm going to put it on the shelf because of kind of like what it started and it sounds like there was a lot that was like inspired by it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? Yeah.
Influenced. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that was like influenced by it. So I would say because of that, it's on the shelf. It wasn't my thing, but I could see, and I didn't hate it.
Sure.
I definitely didn't hate it. So I could see like people really liking this movie. you know? And I remember, like, when I was talking about it later, I realized that I was kind of getting into it, you know? I'm like, oh, yeah, and then she does this and this. And so, yeah, I'm going to say shelf. Shelf it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is definitely on the shelf. Not the best movie, but I did like it a lot. With that said, might not revisit this one for a minute because it is pretty fucking intense. And, you know...
What about the uncut or the cut one?
I might watch it just out of curiosity because I do kind of want to see, like, if, like Joe was saying, that does actually fix some of my issues with this film. Because, again, I do think the slow-mo is really fucking cool, but it just goes on for too long, especially the scene when she's fighting the cops.
The cops is just too goddamn long.
And if you're watching this, like, on the computer or, like, you got a digital copy, or if you just want to sit there and thread the fucking remote the entire time, like, just... keep your finger on that double speed every once in a while. Like, you're not missing much on some of those sex scenes. Like, they're still interesting. They accomplish what they're going for to make... They want you to be uncomfortable, clearly.
Yeah, they're I was like...
That'll do it.
So I was definitely skimming through some of those, and it's, you know, there's no dialogue. The woman doesn't talk. It's all context anyway. So that would be my only complaint, really. And again, I was made in the 70s at a different time. A lot of these movies were a little slower, generally speaking, regardless. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. If you're going to watch it, now you know what you're getting into. If you're watching the unrated, at least. Yeah. So pick your fucking poison.
Yeah, man. Like, you got, trigger warnings, I guess. Well, content warnings.
Yes.
The movie.
We already heard. Yeah. Content warning the movie. It opens up. In a very graphic ass way. And it doesn't stop.
No.
The only break you get is when she's like pouring the cow milk.
Pretty much.
Get it off the top because I want the cream. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it rises to the top.
It's true.
The green. Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely on the shelf for me. I think you put it best. It's inspired some of my favorite movies and directors and artists in this genre and this type of film. I think it's like top tier exploitation film, like one of the best, one of like the I don't, you know, I guess you call it like the grandmother.
Yeah, like that's a good point too. Yeah. Like out of the exploitation films, this is shot the best. Oh, I didn't say like the sound. Oh, I did talk about that. But, yeah, the sound.
The music's great in this, by the way.
The music's really good. And it's got like this, you know, this, it's like Swedish synth. It's great.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Thriller is the way I like to watch this movie. Okay. I like that. That's the original intention. And I like watching films the way they originally intended.
I agree.
However, I feel like most people watching this show, and maybe even you guys, might like They Call Her One Eye better because of the truncatedness of like the editing, the slow-mo stuff. There's no hardcore scenes in that. It's tied up nice and tight. So it's like a brisk, fun revenge flick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still brutal. Like
those
scenes of her, I guess you could call it a brothel or whatever, but like those scenes are still impactful even without all the hardcore shit. You know, it adds another layer of sleaze to it.
Yeah, and you know what? I the hardcore shit actually made it better.
Yeah,
because like my thing, like this is my first rape revenge movie that I've seen. Because
really?
I kind of like veer away from that type because I don't want it to be like too like titillating, you know, like it's like the rape parts should not be sexy, you know. And I was always I've never seen these movies, and I was kind of like worried about that type of thing. And in this one, it's like at first I was like, oh, they're gonna make it all like sexy and
appealing
stuff. And then like towards in the middle, I'm like no. It's graphic for very specific reasons.
There's nothing sexy about it.
and like because of that, it's like, all right, good, like it's showing it.
The ugliness of it, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, like, all the people doing all this horrible shit are degenerate people. So you're like, all right.
They're scumbags.
You kind of just roll with it at that point because it proves this point.
To your point, too, like, even something like I Spit on Your Grave or, like, Mother's Day, they're, like, the big points in those is, like, a rape scene. But nothing about it is nice. At all.
No, it shouldn't be, honestly.
Well, no, of course not. But I'm saying, like, I haven't personally seen one where that was painted in any kind of positive light whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. No.
And the best parts about these movies are that, like, if you've never seen I Spit on Your Grave, watch it. I don't want to spoil too much,
but she cuts a fucking guy's dick off in a bathtub.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's one thing is like, I heard that like I guess that's why the one problem I had with this is because I live in a world where I Spit on Your Grave is already a thing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I know that like the scenes where she kills the people. Oh, are yeah. Fucking brutal.
Yeah.
You know, I guess like a movie that would be similar to that would be, what's the Korean one? Shit. And he pulls the teeth out.
Oh, I Saw the Devil?
No, fuck. The big reveal is he was banging his daughter the whole time.
Oh, old boy.
Old boy.
Yeah. Well, that's a little more fucked up because they're like, those scenes are like, yeah, we're getting it on. Isn't this great? And then at the end, you're like, oh, fuck, no.
Yeah, but it's spoilers. Like, but it's like, that's a revenge movie too. And like the revenge he takes is, huh.
Yeah.
Those are like intense scenes.
Yeah.
And I guess I just, because I live in that world, I wanted a little more of that.
Totally get that. Totally understood. There is, again, an artistic air to Thriller. Okay. With the slow-mo stuff and all that kind of stuff. And I think it plays pretty well. I think it even leans more that way than it does an exploitation movie. But like the reason people categorize it that way is because of they call her One Eye and the way that plays out and how it plays out.
Right.
And it's insane to me how much difference a little bit of music or changing music around or like this just the slow-mo scenes in general and shit like that can affect the feeling of the entire movie. Because it's almost like watching two different kinds of movies.
God. It would be funny if you like because you sent these out.
Yeah.
If you like gave him the cut one and me the uncut one, like you didn't tell us.
We have done that before.
We have done that before. And I sent you guys both because I didn't know which ones you guys were gonna watch. And I was like, I'm gonna watch the uncut one. You guys watch whichever one you want.
But that would be if you just didn't tell us.
Oh yeah.
And so we came in and I'm like, wait, what?
there was a dick in a butthole?
Yeah, what the fuck? Why are we talking about semen? Yeah.
You'd be sitting there like, am I missing
it? I don't know.
Maybe I do want to see that.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I think those things do add another layer to the character and like how you grow with that character and feel the empathy for that character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's one of the classics, and I'm glad we got to talk about it, especially with you. And I'm glad this is the first time that you saw it, and I loved hearing your perspective on it.
Yeah, definitely like not a dumpster type of movie.
No,
you know what I
mean?
Like definitely like something that you like when you watch it, it's like, oh yeah, like this is like a movie that like definitely a lot of people took inspiration from.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It's also one when you're watching it, you might have to like pause it occasionally just to like collect your bearings. Yeah. Like, holy shit, what just happened?
It is intense, just forewarning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I went through an array of emotions while watching it too.
It's a roller coaster ride.
Yeah. And like, I had to chew on it for like a while. You know what I mean? Like, it took us so fucking long to like.
Well, that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was good because then I got to think about it a little more. Because at first I was like, I don't know if I like this. And then I was like, ah. But, like, you know, like that meme of the girl going, no.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
No, like that was me. That was me like this whole time. So yeah.
I wanted to bring up one more other thing too, because we were talking about it the other night on the live show about like Quentin Tarantino movies specifically.
Oh, yeah.
And how he's pulled a lot from movies like this, the exploitation genre, but like how this is a completely different movie than something like Kill Bill.
Oh, yeah.
And I had said that like showing people this movie is more beneficial to me than showing them Kill Bill.
I would agree.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this is where
it came from.
Like,
yeah.
This is where he pulled it all from, you know what I mean? And it's nice to go back and look at everything that led up to that point.
Absolutely.
Tarantino is one of those people, like, he takes movies and he can just do them, like, almost shot for shot, but somehow it's his movie.
Yeah, he's making the movies I want to make. I mean, he's making the movies I want to make. That's why I enjoy them
like
so much.
So many fucking homages. And so it's like, it's fun when you grow up with a director like that.
Yeah.
And then you start watching all these like exploitation movies and you're like,
hey,
oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Because I went backwards on that, you know, like I was a fan of his first. And then I was like, oh, that's why I like it is because he's like copying this kind of shit.
That's like you listen to a song that's like sampling another song. And then you like finally hear the original, like, oh, shit.
Or even a cover to that point.
Yeah. Well,
and you're
exactly.
Oh, shit. There was an original one of this.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe Ghostbusters 2016 was not the original. Can you believe it?
Could you believe it? What is that movie? I've never seen that movie from the 80s.
You're missing out, man. You're really missing out.
Onion Original Head. Or remake? That's what they all ask when you say, like, I love Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Mrs. Slimer's my favorite ghost. I love the dancing. Beautiful.
Dude, I mean, there's one good thing that came out of that Ghostbusters movie, and that's, like, they had, like, the Slimer juice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ecto Cooler, yeah.
Yeah, Ecto Cooler,
we got some somewhere.
Speaking of,
I love that shit.
Since Janet brought it up, there's a video you can check out where me and Joe drink expired Ecto Cooler.
Oh!
Yeah, we sure do.
Go watch that to see how that ended
up. Oh, it's right there behind you, yeah.
Oh, no.
Hanging out with the California Raisin.
Isn't it like they just took the orange juice and they just put green in it?
That's all
basically,
it is.
Basically, yeah.
It's green mandarin orange juice.
Yeah. I swear it tasted different.
It's delicious.
It definitely tasted different to you guys.
Well, I think the sugar...
It was brown. It was brown when it came out.
But it tasted sweet, though.
I was sick after that.
Coming out of your mouth.
Both ends.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so thanks for coming to hang out, and definitely next year for sure, we'd love to have you back again, maybe talk about some Pinky Violence stuff, or maybe something else you want to talk about.
Maybe some of those martial arts movies we were talking about off camera.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Oh, yes. That's it, right? That's a beautiful mix
bases.
Of
okay,
all of them.
Yeah.
Jeet Kune Do! Jeet Kune Do. I know someone was yelling at me. Someone was screaming, oh, what's that Bruce Lee martial art? And one guy was going, it's Jeet Kune Do!
Don't worry, Kune they'll say it 900 times in the comments.
Yeah, yeah. But I said it, okay? I fucking said it.
What else we got coming this month, Joe?
We got some good stuff coming up, man. We got a lot of St. Paddy's Day themed things coming. We have Red Clover we're doing with Dustin Elkins from the Flicks and Friends podcast.
Yes.
We got a Leprechaun 2 commentary track coming at you on Patreon.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Talk about cum. We got Leprechaun cum coming out.
Oh, I had my first Shamrock Shake the other day, baby. I'm ready.
That starfish is milking those bad boys.
Oh, yeah. Don't say Shamrock Shake and cum.
Well, welcome back to the show, Jenny. It's a long-running joke that would take too long to explain at this point in the episode.
The starfish is back there with the leaky mouth. That's where it's coming from.
We'll tell you about it later.
All right.
Yeah. For anyone curious, go listen to the Unluckiest Leprechaun episode. The information's in there.
Yeah, and Leprechaun 4, of course, in space.
All right.
Bridge the gap. Yeah, and don't forget, we also, on Patreon, we're going to have that coffee watch-along, the Pam Grier classic. That's going to be a fucking blast to do with you guys and hang out and listen and watch that, yeah.
For the $5 and $10 tiers. So.
Well, only $5 and $10 get the commentary track as well.
Right. And then also, anybody that signs up for the $2 tier... also, you get those ad-free audio podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to check this out on Patreon along with any minisodes. We put out a Bones minisode last month.
For the $2 tier.
Yes.
Which is pretty fucking great. You're getting ad-free audio versions of the show. You're getting the junk mails. And getting the minisodes. That's a lot of content for $2 a month, I must say.
Yeah, and we just dropped the junk mail, junk mail 8, I think it is.
Yeah.
Sounds right. So check that out. Where you may see where this diddler shirt came from in that junk mail.
Also true.
We also get some other stuff coming, like Talks from the Dark Side, and we're having a ripe review with Tony from Hack the Movies.
We're actually going to be on Hack the Movies for Leprechaun in the Hood.
True. Should have thought of that while we were talking about Leprechaun,
but that's okay. What else we got?
And he's coming on our show for a ripe review of Cocaine Bear, so look forward to all that.
So that's it. That's Thriller, A Cruel Picture, a.k.a. They Call Her One Eye from 1973, directed by Bo Arn Vibenius. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
I'm Jenna Fryer.
Thanks for visiting the dumpster.